specific wife that they had a romantic relationship, mm-hmm. and they loved each other, and the fruit of this marriage were two beautiful children. Islam is not against these, mm-hmm. right? So I'm saying that it is possible to have a degree, a certain degree of happiness, material happiness, in terms of, you know, relationship happiness in this world. But we are selfishly taking all the happiness and peace away from us by going in another direction that God wants from us, mm-hmm. right? So we were talking about how do we bring up girls.
Train them for their future as Islam has prescribed.
Right. Remember you said that it's okay if a girl has a job and she works and she's independent and she's in the society and, you know, there's nothing wrong and she has to see her priorities and everything. But then I realized that not only me, it's a proven fact. When you, as a girl, as a woman, enter the society, work with men and other fellow human beings, you are not so innocent anymore.
What do you mean by
a
innocence?
A woman, and don't get me wrong, because I don't want you to go to the extreme and say, oh, so she should be, get pickled and stay at home and this, I'm not talking about that. But in general, a woman who is in the safe territory of her family and she has a supportive husband, a good, real decent guy, and she doesn't have to deal with outside pressure, society pressure, and she takes care of the comfort of her husband and children, and of course she has her own challenges. This lady is so much more soft than a girl who mans up in
obviously.
The society, who roughens, because she has to deal with men.
Yep, yep.
And sometimes she has fights with them. She has to prove herself to them. They want to stamp their feet on her and, you know, crush her. And she has to, you know, say that I'm good, I'm even better than you guys, right? Mm. So she toughens up.
Right.
So her nerves, part of her nerves, part of her peace goes away.
Mm-hmm.
She comes home. She doesn't have that peace of mind anymore. She's not the source of tranquility. That is why I said you have to choose which value system you're adhering.
Obviously.
The Islamic value system or the secular value system. In the Islamic, your needs are taken care of. So you stay soft.
Mm.
You don't roughen up. You don't man up.
Mm.
But then you say, so what if something happens and then she encounters a problem? I think in a very good Islamic system, in any case, her financial needs have to be taken care of. Either by her husband or her father or her grandfather or the government.
Mm.
Just this is what you see in Western countries. They say that you come to Muslim countries, you don't see Islam, you see Muslims. You go to non-Islamic countries, you see Islam, you don't see Muslims.
Right.
This is what you see in the Western. They make the woman, they give her a peace of mind.
That by doing what?
By giving her, the government gives her money if she's unemployed, if she's single, if she's divorced.
Yeah, some European countries
yes.
do that.
Advanced European countries
yeah.
like the...
With very small populations.
Yeah. But I'm saying that in the Islamic system, either the government, they prepare the background for her to remarry, not to stay single. As you see, at the time of the Noble Prophet, many women got widowed or they got separated, they got divorced or whatever. They didn't stay single for a long time.
True.
Very after their iddah, like shortly after, they just wait until the end of their iddah, they got remarried.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Islamic system.
Absolutely.
Where we don't have it. It's not our problem. We are not government officials. We are not policymakers. But I say when we talk about these issues and we inform people of our own worldview, maybe people will wake up or government will wake up.
Islam is right. I mean, my opinion, personal opinion and another person's personal opinion are absolutely insignificant because at the end of the day, Islam is the benchmark and the criterion.
Okay, so this is one point that I wanted to mention, that it's really good to be independent. What makes you independent is not that education. It's not that ability to have to find a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's your self-esteem. When you look at Sayyidah Zainab, Sayyidah Fatima, Sayyidah Khadija, they didn't spend like years of their life getting a PhD to become independent, and they didn't even have a job aside from Lady Khadija. Mm-hmm. But the rest, I mean, yes, they were trained under their fathers, you know, they became religious scholars. I think the real science lies in the Quran, and all these were scholars and experts of the Quran.
Sister Razia, this is the thing that pains me, is that Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha became Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha, became the person about whom an imam says, you are the unlearned teacher, you are the unlearned scholar.
Right.
Meaning she was a scholar. She didn't have a PhD, she had a professor's degree.
Unlearned scholar.
Yeah. Sure, she was an exception, but she was an exception because she had a father like Amir al-Mu'mineen who educated her since infancy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a hadith about it. Sayyidah Zainab became the prophet of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein's right hand and the most epic, powerful, quote-unquote independent, strong woman in history because she was educated.
Mm-hmm. Because she was educated?
Yes, but she was educated
no,
about...
I don't agree with you. Because she had the self-esteem.
Which came from her education.
No, it does not.
It comes
does
from
not,
knowledge.
I'm not saying that you have to keep women illiterate and you have to keep them, you know, knock on their head and just say that, you know, you just
go
have
back
to
the kitchen and make me a sandwich.
Exactly. But I think when you talk about education, it brings an academic, like, MA,
yep, and
PhD
that's what
thing.
I wanted to say. But then education changed its form and definition throughout time.
Exactly.
1400 years ago, universities did not exist. Education in the household of Amir al-Mu'mineen looked like Amir al-Mu'mineen teaching two-year-old Zainab as soon as she could speak about Tawheed,
mm-hmm.
about Mi'ad.
Exactly.
Education in the household of Fatima al-Zahra looked like the children...
Religious education.
...being raised with the ayat of Quran because their house was the house of revelation.
Exactly. But I think if any woman would be able to learn the teachings of the Quran by going to tafsir classes, by going to any kind of, I don't know, whatever name you want to call it, any class that teaches you what the message of the Quran is.
Mm-hmm.
Because Quran, it has teachings about society, about women, you know, it's an all-encompassing book of knowledge and science. That would be, I'm not saying that so only take girls to Quranic makatib, you know, the maktab khanas where, you know, you have this old woman hitting the girl,
the ruler
with a long piece of wood. And no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that real education in the first place is the teachings of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt.
Of course.
And of course, based on the needs of your society, a Muslim woman has always, she should be in the front line. She should be well educated. She should know the needs of her time. She should be a technologically advanced person. But it doesn't necessarily mean that she has to deprive herself of a nice, good family because people have misdefined success and happiness for her.
Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, and thank you to our listeners for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Sevier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Sevier International School here. So they've joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. Everyone, thanks for being with us and thanks for listening to us. Okay, this time, inshallah, now, the students who are here, our friends, they will recite some surahs, okay, some verses of the Holy Quran, and the other ones will listen and fix their mistakes. If you found any mistake when they recite, okay, please comment, okay, or send us some messages that say, Mahdi made this mistake, Minhal got this wrong, Hadi got this wrong, okay? I know that they do not get any of
that
them wrong because they are
one
very good.
Qamari.
So Mahdi will do it one qamari. So write it down, okay, that Mahdi always says one qamari. He has to change it to three qamari or ten qamari. Whatever. Okay, Mahdi? So sad today. Why?
Because of one qamari.
Because of one qamari? Give him two qamari.
Okay, sir, this time I'll pronounce it right.
Okay. Say it.
What's his business?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والشمس وضحاها
أعوذ بالله
أعوذ بالله
instead of fixing one mistake he made two other mistakes. So brothers and sisters, Surah At-Tin, Hadi will recite Surah At-Tin. Okay, page 597, Surah At-Tin.
وَالتِّينِ
وَالزَّيْتُونِ. He will, he surely, he must pay attention to وَاوَ مَدِّي أَلِفِ مَدِّي Yai Maddi, Alif Maqsura, Dagger Alif, Ya Lin, okay? All of them, he has to pay attention. Okay. Hadi, ready?
Yes.
Okay.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
MashaAllah.
Wat-Tini Waz-Zaytun Wat-Tini.
Okay, no, so that's tea,
the
right?
The first time he said teen, he said man.
You say
so.
No,
you
man,
said
let's do this.
How
let's
he
do
could
this,
say
guys.
Man?
Let's do this.
Mahdi. Not even in the
Mahdi.
Thing.
Sir, we have two.
Okay, let's do one thing. One thing. No, just recite. Do not say.
Okay.
We'll fix. If you got wrong, okay, we'll fix. I will ask. So I will. We all will listen. If Hadi gets any of them wrong, I will ask one of you. Okay, Minhal and Hadi and
comment.
Mahdi. Then tell us what the mistake was. Okay. So, read it from the first.
Me?
Yeah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wat-Tini Waz-Zaytun.
Ahsan. Was there any mistake?
No.
Great. Go next ayah.
Me? Again?
Yeah, yeah. Read this surah.
Wat-Turi Sinin.
MashaAllah. Wal-Maddi. Yai-Maddi. Correct. Go on. Next ayah. MashaAllah.
وهذا البلد الأمين.
أحسن. That was very good. Bravo. MashaAllah.
Really good.
Okay. Great. Good. Next ayah. No mistake. No mistake. MashaAllah.
لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم.
There was one mistake.
Yes. ولقد خلقنا.
There is no ولقد.
Because sir,
we are talking about the wow that you add.
Yeah.
You say walaqad.
Just like one.
So the mistake was.
I say qalqala.
Okay, this time he will repeat it.
Laqad.
And you will fix it. Listen up.
Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsan taqwim.
We have three qalqala. Find them and fix them.
First qalqala.
Laqad.
Laqad.
خلقنا
الإنسان في أحسن
تقويم. أحسن صاد نو سين أحسن.
أحسن تقويم.
Okay, now he will fix them.
One dal.
Yeah, one.
Three.
Three. Two qaf, one dal. Fix it now.
What?
Read it again and fix all the mistakes.
لقد خلقنا الإنسان.
Okay, again.
لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم.
أحسن ما شاء الله. That was very great.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Okay, next ayah.
Oh, sir, please don't say it.
No.
They will recite next, another surah.
Sir, please.
Come on.
You
can do it.
Thumma radadna.
Hey, Grandpa, don't say anything.
Again.
Read it again.
Go on. Our brothers, they love to hear you.
Thumma radadna hu. أسفل سافلين.
ما شاء الله. Only one mistake. Where was it? منهل.
سافلين.
It was in قلقلة.
ورددنا.
Again. Now fix the mistake.
No. ورددنا.
رددنا.
ورددنا.
ورددنا.
ثم
دومي قاتي.
Okay. دومي قاتي. They made you. Yeah.
You're
Hadi. You have to guide yourself. Here is a verse in the Holy Quran says, أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقٌ أَنْ يُتَّبَعْ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهْدِي إِلَّا يُهْدَى. It means, is the one who has been guided, is he, does he deserve to be a guide or someone who is not guided?
I'm not Imam.
Yeah. Is he, does he deserve to be a guide? Yeah, because he first has to guide himself then. So now, Hadi, guide yourself. Yeah, Hadi means someone who guides.
Yeah.
So you have to guide yourself. Read it correctly now.
Thumma radad.
Ahsan.
Radadna hu asfala safilin.
Now read it together. Come on.
Hadi, what is this?
Hadi, read it.
ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ صَافِلِينَ.
MashaAllah. Now he can be a guide, he can be a teacher because he can read it correctly.
Yeah, but then he was doing صَافِلِينَ.
So the next ayah. So listen.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غير ممنون.
غير ممنون.
I couldn't find mistake.
I have a story.
It's also in the
I have a story. You know, I usually alhamdulillah, I usually when there is the prayer, when we do congregational prayer, prayer in group, okay, Salatul Jama'ah. Yeah, I usually in madrasa, I usually recite the Inna Allah wa Malaika. Yeah?
I took over my job yesterday.
Yeah, I do it usually, okay?
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد وعلي.
I usually do this one, okay? When I was like 10-12 years old in Afghanistan, I used to do it, okay, in the masjid as well.
So one time, sir, you stole my job.
Sir, I say
I am 11 years old, so it's supposed to be my job.
Okay, inshallah, you'll do it, okay? So in that time, okay, sometimes, yeah, you forget, okay? When I was, the prayer finished, okay? So I said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Nobody recited a salawat. Everyone was laughing at me. I said, what happened? Then the leader, the prayer leader, okay, Imam al-Jama'ah, okay, he said, صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. I was very embarrassed, okay? Yeah. So be careful, Mahdi, you are the same, okay? Don't repeat my mistake, okay?
Yeah, I don't even do it, I let someone else do it.
So, okay.
Okay, I'll read next.
Yeah, let's recite this ayah one. Mahdi, recite this. Inna Allah, recite.
Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabiy, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallimu taslima.
No, read it.
Inna alladhina amanu.
Ya ayyuhalladhina.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu.
Sallu 'alan nabiy, ya ayyuhal.
No. Say it.
Not me.
Come on.
Sir, just leave us with this story.
Repeat after me. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Okay, the next two ayah, read, finish them.
فما يكذب بك
بعد بدي
فما يكذبوا بعد
let him read.
فما يكذبوا بعد
let him read.
بعد بد
okay. فما
فما يكذب بك بعد بالدين
بالدين يا مدين. The next ayah, mashallah, no problem. There was no mistake. إليس
الله بالبحق.
No. أليس
إليس
ليس your classmate. No, it's not ليس your classmate. Okay. أليس الله
أليس
ألا
أليس الله
الله
الله ب أه ب
بيح
ب بأحكم الحاكمين.
Great. أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين.
It's my turn now.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we practice many surahs and we learn a lot of new things today. So at the end, we really thanks to IRIB English Radio, right? And also Sever International School, also the students.
Do you remember the first?
Thank you so much.
Inshallah,
make dua. Okay, include as you make dua every day. Okay, please make dua for the appearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. May Allah hasten the reappearance, and also may Allah Almighty give us again the chance to stay and continue these kind of lessons, inshallah. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma
ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن الفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
What is it you would be trying to do on climate change? What is it you would be trying to prevent if you were leading the United States at the conference?
Well, first of all, I think one of the dumbest statements I've ever heard in politics, in the history of politics as I know it, was Obama's statement that our number one problem is global warming, okay? When we have large groups of people that want to blow up every one of our cities, that want to destroy our country, that want to kill our people, and he's worried about global warming, I think it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Having two cars, three cars in your family and a television set in every room and living that sort of life that people live in developed countries and even in emerging economies now has a cost to it. The cost is climate change.
And the time is running out. Time is running out. We've got 10, as the scientists say, we have 10 years to reduce our emissions by 90%. You know, we've got to keep 80% of the fossil fuels in the ground. That's a massive shift in our ways of life.
It is going to affect the way we do everything. It is going to affect the way we transport ourselves. It's going to affect what we eat, when we eat. It's going to affect how we heat, cool our homes. It's going to affect how we build our homes. It's going to affect mostly, certainly how we produce our food. It's going to affect practically every human endeavor.
If we fail in Paris, then the whole world is looking at a globally catastrophic situation, which will not spare anybody. It will hit the rich countries. New York will be affected, Berlin will be affected, London will be affected. It will affect everybody.
The average temperature on Earth has already risen by 1 degree Celsius. If we exceed 2 degrees Celsius of warming, most ecosystems will collapse. To prevent this, the United Nations has been trying to reach a global climate agreement since 1995. My film team and I are going to Paris to meet the people who are deciding about our future.
Guardians of the Earth, Part 3.
Night has fallen, and the COP venue is calm for the moment. Skepticism continues to grow, and the numbers make clear why. The current text still has 1,585 square brackets and issues to be resolved. There are 9 days left.
The initial assessment showed that Haiyan left a wake of massive destruction that is unprecedented, unthinkable. Mr. President, I speak for my delegation, but I speak for the countless people who will no longer be able to speak for themselves. Now, Mr. President, if you will allow me, Super Typhoon Haiyan made landfall in my own family's hometown, and the devastation.
After Marshall, without me knowing the full reason behind it, I was taken out of the Philippine delegation. So it's not as if I walked away from the process. I was taken out. And if I was taken out because I have been vocal about rich nations having to take responsibility and about the fossil fuel industry being the biggest problem that stands in the way, that should give me a lot of pride to be taken out. Because climate change is a battle that will not be won or lost in the conference halls here.
I've always said the climate change negotiations stopped being about climate change a long time ago. It's about economy. It's about interests. It's about who pays for your election campaign. Fortunately, what we're seeing now is the business sector is ahead of the politicians. They're changing. They're turning around.
We pay a visit to COP Solutions, an exhibition where businesses tell us how they intend to take part in solving the climate crisis. Among them are the world's biggest banks and energy-producing corporations, which are also sponsoring COP.
Ah!
This place is a corporate greenwashing exercise, and they're not allowing us to say so. These organisations have paid up to 250,000 euros to have not just a stand in here, but political influence. Engie and these companies, you're not part of the solution. And it seems the only way that you can make your voice heard when you haven't got 250,000 euros is to do something like this. Take direct action, make a noise, and actually make our voices heard. Money will not silence the people, and we will be heard. Unfortunately, money can buy you quite a lot of security. So we're going to be taken out, but it does not end here. We're going to continue. We're going to be in the streets. We're going to be on the front lines. We're going to take down Engie and the others whilst they are in our communities. I'm going to make sure that actually our climate future is in the hands of people and not big business.
From an insider, we receive information on how successful lobbying works. We learn, for example, that negotiators have given in to the aviation industry's demands and removed text that would have limited pollution from airplanes.
We are very pleased to see that within the last few days there's been a tremendous amount of momentum and support from civil society, from the world, and indeed from a number of countries, including developed and developing countries. And we hope that by the next few days we will complete an agreement that recognizes 1.5 degrees, but not only that, the means to achieve that. Do you have a microphone over there?
What kind of response are you seeing, particularly from oil-producing countries, to this goal of 1.5 degrees?
Thank you very much, Suzanne. I'm going to invite Wael Maidan to answer the question.
Yes, it's unfortunate that the Arab group is the mainly only group that is opposing 1.5, and this is surprising because part of the Arab region is supporting 1.5. Now, how much we'd be able to have a complete shift, and including Saudi Arabia accepting 1.5, it's going to be part of the trade-offs that could possibly happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to make an announcement that we're not here to accept the minimalist Paris Agreement. So every minister standing on this stage has joined the Ambition Coalition, and we will fight to protect the ambition in the agreement.
I have a question about the EU, who is part of this coalition but not present now. Can you explain why?
President of the EU is here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hello. It's for us normal to be on the Ambition Coalition because we need a long-term target. We need tools that can operationalize this target. So the EU is present from the beginning.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you very, very much for that. We will need to go now. Thank you very much.
What we are calling the High Ambition Coalition. This is a group of countries that is fully committed to ensuring that the agreement is a truly ambitious one. You know, this is not a situation where we have to hope and pray that some smart person is going to come along and find the solution. No, we already have the solution. The solution to climate change is energy policy. Sure, we're going to continue to pump gas and oil for years. We know that. We're not going to leave here knowing that everything we do is going to hit the 2-degree mark. But what we're doing is sending the marketplace an extraordinary signal that those 186 countries are really committed. And that helps the private sector to move capital into that, knowing there's a future that is committed to this sustainable path.
Responsible for this crisis.
the governments that call themselves ambitious claim, the actual promises, the actual targets that they have brought to this summit lead us to an extremely dangerous world. They don't lead us to 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius. For setting a target of warming that may allow the low-lying Pacific Islands to survive, and I say may, our governments are demanding that those countries explicitly give up their right to seek loss and damages for climate change. It says it in the text right now.
The negotiators haven't slept for the past 2 days, with the talks continuing behind closed doors 24/7.
I'm hoping we preserve the high ambition elements, which are still in the text, in everything. But as they wheel and deal and compromise, there's a tendency to give up things. And right now, in the next few hours, I predict there'll be moves to jettison as much of it as possible, because that's how you get compromised. You get compromised by agreeing to the lowest common denominator, not by going to the upper end of the ambition. Then the bits that are easiest to sacrifice are the bits that the vulnerable and poorest countries hold dearest, but they're the ones who have least leverage in holding on to stuff. I'm very afraid that we will start losing all the ambitious language that's in the text now.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, the COP president calls an emergency meeting to resolve the conflict about the final wording of the agreement. The majority of countries demand 1.5 in the text, but a single veto can block this demand. This meeting is closed to the public, but we've managed to sneak inside.
Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, short speeches, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are of the view that it should read as follows. Hold the increase in the global average temperature to below 2 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels, full stop. And again, the word shall, should, would like to see may in that article. With that, Mr. President, I should thank you.
Well, Mr. President, we appreciate your leadership enormously. This agreement, I have to tell you, my friends, this is a monument to differentiation. This is the single most differentiated agreement I've ever seen in my life because of the 186 voluntary, nationally determined plans. And I hope we'll look very carefully and not get hung up over word for word that don't really have an impact. I mean, I'll give you an example. All parties should strive to formulate and communicate long-term low greenhouse gas emission development strategies. Now, it's been recommended that that be deleted. I find it really hard to understand how the word strive threatens anybody. We can't afford, in the hours we have left and in the time we have, and given the spirit with which we've all come here, to nitpick every single word of this agreement. I don't believe that's where we are. Thank you, Mr. President.
My schedule is this one. Today, Friday, I will try to pull the pieces together, and I will consult the different groups during the day, not right now, but during the day. And I will be in a position to present a text, which will be the final text, tomorrow. Thank you very much.
In a desperate decision, the United Nations extends the negotiations by 1 day. Everybody's exhausted, and time's running out to reach the necessary agreement. The COP president makes a last-ditch attempt to bring the opposed sides together in secret talks.
Thank you.
I'm off.
Okay. Good.
Good. Well done. Well done. Yeah, you should be proud.
Yes.
You should be proud.
I thought
that's a good
sight.
Yeah.
It is good.
It's a good sight.
What do you want more than that?
Exactly. Exactly.
And no, this is the core thing.
It's very good.
Yes.
It's a good agreement for
yes,
us.
Yes, I think it's a good agreement. You okay. Did all for the LDCs and developing countries.
I did what I could. You did it yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to help.
Yes, indeed.
Today we had a historic agreement, 1.5 degree, long-term goal, despite the fact that all the rich countries and all the big developing countries did not want it when they had come to Paris. We made them change their mind.
For the first time in history, 195 nations have settled on a global agreement. Its stated objective? To limit the increase in the global average temperature to well below 2 degrees Celsius and pursue efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius. The Paris Agreement shall remain in effect for the coming decades. Its success depends on the national action plans of each and every country. But the new administration in the United States is strongly opposed to the UN's multilateral approach.
This agreement gives foreign bureaucrats control over how much our energy and how much we use right here in America. So foreign bureaucrats are going to be controlling what we're using and what we're doing on our land in our country. No way. We're going to cancel the Paris Climate Agreement and stop all payments of the United States tax dollars to UN global warming programs.
In order to reach the 1.5 degree target, worldwide emissions have to be drastically reduced by 2020. The United States of America is responsible for almost one-third of these emissions.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Verse 49 of Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. We, everything, created it biqadar, with a certain taqdeer, with a certain portion, a measurement, a certain time. Everything has been created. We, God says, we created everything in this way. And it emphasizes we, it starts with that inna, then it emphasizes everything. Kulla shay'in khalaqnahu. Again, we created it biqadar, in this way, biqadar, with taqdeer. Everything has a measurement, a time. Before that time, it will not happen. After that time, it will not happen. It will happen exactly on that time. At that time, not before or after. But this should not cause you to think God does things at a different time. His doing, His action, the attribution of things happening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not timed. We are within the context of time. When we do things, the action, the deed, the verb, whatever it is that we're doing, the creation, if we create in our material sense, if we make a car, if we make a house, if we do whatever we do it within the context of time. We don't do it before or after. We as the subject of the verb, the one who does that, who performs that act, are within the context of time. Within the limitations of time, within the limitations and the restrictions and the restraints of time, our existence is timed. We are part of what God has created. And that qadar, that includes time, we are part of that. Our existence is time. We came into existence at a certain time. We will leave this material realm at a certain time. Everything is time. So when we do something, the action, the deed, is timed. We are also timed. We should not think the same is true regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says we created everything with a qadar. Everything that is created has got time. There was a time where this earth existed. There were no human beings. There was a certain time that the human beings were put on earth. Before that, they weren't. After this is done, they won't be. It's only when God wants. There's a certain time. Everything is time, but is the subject of this verb, the one who creates this, the one who has done this, who has made this, is he restrained by time? Is he doing this? Does he decide to do this once? Now he decides that we create man, and then time goes by with him, and then after a while he decides. This verse explains, verse 50, that that's not the case. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. It's difficult for us to explain, to understand. God uses an example. He says, our amr, our command in all of this happening, in everything happening, the whole thing, with all of the taqdeerat, our amr is wahida, it's one. Kun, other verses have kun fayakun. Wants it and it happens. Everything with the taqdeer. He wants it to happen, this at this time, that at that time, first this, then that, the whole thing, right? The attribution to him, is it him doing one thing first, then the next thing? The way we do it, we plan things. So I decide that this year I'm going to do this, next year I'm going to do this. I haven't done it. I've decided to do it. I put a time on it. When do I do it? When the time arrives. I plan for a Saturday night that I'm going to give this speech. Next Saturday I have a different plan. Did I do next Saturday's right now? No, I just maybe sketched something in the calendar. I will. When will I do it? The attribution of the action is when I do it. I actually do that. He says no. The whole thing in now كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. Everything has a taqdeer in it, but God willing it in its entirety with all those time restraints and everything. واحدة. And that, in terms of, if you want to think in the context of time. It's not in the context of time, but since we are so bound by time and we can only think, he says, like كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. It's like a blink of an eye. Okay. The whole creation, from those millions of years, according to the calculations that scientists have done in terms of the age of the earth, with, you know, however accurate that is, I don't know when we're going to find and hear a scientist question and doubt how much of that is true. We don't know. At least I don't know. They have said this, we've read it, but how accurate that is, it's not divine. So many times they thought something was definitely the case, then they came back and said, no, that's not the case. But we don't know. Based on what they have said, it seems somewhere in the hundreds of thousands, millions, or whatever number of years, all of this, and God knows how much longer in this material realm, and then the change of it, and exactly what that means, and resurrection, and what khulud means in that case. This whole thing, أمرٌ وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمحٍ بالبصر. It's important to know this. Don't, in your mind, think of even God's action, not Him. We are told in regards to Him that. And when we try to understand, one of the terms that we have, one of the adhkar that we have, is Allahu Akbar. Okay, and we have been, it's been explained to us through hadith that Allahu Akbar means Allahu Akbar an yusaf. He is greater than to be described. Any type of description regarding anything, all of what we understand as attribution or attributes or sifat or asma, okay, all of these, none of these are him. They are attributes. He is akbaru an yusaf. He is greater greater than to be described in any way. This is found in the first khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, a very difficult khutbah to understand. Anyhow, it's important, this verse tells us that even when we're thinking of his deeds, what in our limited understanding we can call his actions, his will, his amr, his command, it's important that we understand that we can't fully understand it. To know it's one, in other words, there's no multiplicity in it, even in his will. Amruna, not him, his will. Amruna, his command. Even in his command, there's no multiplicity. It's singular. And the closest thing you can think of is kalam him bil basar. It's one instance. And when it's done, then the whole thing is there with all the time that is within the context of it. It's within this creation. The time of everything is within it in the various ways that the verses of the Quran tell us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that time within this, and how things happen one after the other, and who's responsible for what part of it, and so on and so forth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا أَشْيَاعَهُمْ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We destroyed أَشْيَاعَهُمْ, apparently it means either, well, the word Shia a lot of times, and this is a derivative of that, could be the plural of it. I haven't done thorough reading of Tafasir. What comes to mind based on my limited knowledge here is their likes, their the people that are like them. We have these people that are now standing and they think they're all that, and standing up to God's guidance, to his prophet, and so on and so forth. We have destroyed already the likes of them, or people who followed the same thing. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Is there anyone to be reminded? وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَعَلُوهُ فِي الزُّبُرِ. And everything they have done is in Zubur, they're in books. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَطَرٍ. Every small and big or great deed, everything, the smallest, most minute thing that is done, and the greatest thing that is done, the insignificance of an act or the greatness of it, none of them are reasons for it not being recorded. Everything is recorded. مُسْتَطَرٍ means it's written in on lines, or in other words, transcribe, it's written. Everything is recorded. The last verses here, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. The muttaqeen are in gardens and streams. فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ. In a maq'ad is similar to manzil, it's where you sit. Okay, مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ. Your sitting place, the place you do qu'ud in, you sit, is, in other words, your station. في مقعد صدق, at a position, station, sitting place of صدق, truth. عند مليك مقتدر. By a مليك, a sovereign, that is مقتدر, that is mighty.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati Ghafur Shah.
ثور واد قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us two very, very special guests. On my right, we have Sister Asma. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And on my left, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam and assalamu alaikum from Ayan.
Sister Zainab, I've met you before, I've worked with you before, but could you give a brief introduction to about yourself? I mean, who are you? Where have you come from?
I am Zainab Askari. I am from the Indian occupied Kashmir, and I'm like done with masters in linguistics from Kashmir University, and then I came to Iran. It's been 7 years I'm here. I am studying Hausa right now.
Uh-huh. So linguistics, you're going to be dealing with like
the rules of translation, phonetics, syntax, okay, morphology, what we do in like surf and stuff.
Ah, you're my teacher then. Sister Asma, is it? Where are you from? Who are you?
Well, I am from Iran. And I study English literature.
I studied English literature, really?
That's very good.
Oh,
me
no
too.
Way. So you're studying Shakespeare and...
Yes, a lot of poetry, novels, poetry, plays, mm-hmm, and that's my favorite thing to do.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Okay, yes. So today, I'd like to actually open up the discussion by talking a little bit about how social media, as we know, has taken over a lot of our lives. It's changed the way that the world works.
Yes.
But now there's a brand new spanner in the works, and it goes by the name of the metaverse.
Yes.
I don't really know much about it. What is the metaverse exactly?
The concept tells that it's a set of virtual 3D spaces where you can create your own zone. Now, if we want to make it more clear, imagine a parallel world to this world that we're already living in. Imagine that you have the ability to create another world of your own. Then you would be whatever you want, travel wherever you want, do different things, experience new things, and you're sitting in your place. It's like you're an armchair traveler. After metaverse, I think the world is going to change a lot. The same thing that happened when internet was introduced to people is going to happen when metaverse is coming into reality. That will be a big change.
So